Visit Astros.com/radio to hear all your favorite players, up-to-date interviews, highlights, and more. Get connected with your Astros at Astros.com/radio.
Robert Ford joined by Astros pitcher Charlie Morton. And first of all, it has to feel good to just be healthy and out there pitching after making only four starts last year.
Yeah, long layover, 10 months. It's good.
So you were able to throw near the end of last year, although you didn't get in the games after getting hurt early in the year. Do you feel like that put you on the right path? So at least you go into the off season and you're on a kind of a regular program?
Yeah, I guess more mental than anything, just to get on the mound and get into my delivery, get down the hill a little bit. Know I can trust it. The main reason why I was doing that was to throw for teams in free agency. But yeah, another plus was, like I said, getting off the mound and trusting.
The Astros wound up signing you, if I remember correctly, pretty early in the free agency period. That had to feel pretty good to know somebody wanted you even after what had happened the year before.
Well, yeah, not even that, but the offer. The negotiations went really well. And yeah, I mean, as soon as free agency started, it was nice to know that there was some interest from some teams. So, you know, that was something I'd worried about since May. You know.
Now, looking at, and again, the limited sample last year, your velocity was up on your sinker over where it had been in the past. And we've seen that here in spring training. We've seen you get into the mid-90s. Is it something you had been trying to work on going into last year, or is it something that just kind of happened for you?
No, I mean, I've always been able to run the ball up there,
yeah,
but not sustain that speed, especially multiple innings. And I think last year I was throwing harder. I mean, my peak velocities were higher than they had been. Going into the 2015 season, I'd had hip surgery after the 2014 season. And going into the 2015 season, my pitch speeds were just not very good. I was like 88 to 91, maybe 92. And then my last three or four starts in 2015, I started to see my speed go back up. I wasn't really pitching very well, but the ball was coming out of my hand a little bit better in terms of just pitch speed. And then going into to spring training, my bullpens and all that, I felt really good, but I didn't know how good it was coming out. Mm-hmm. And then last spring training, my first game, I looked up and it was like 94, 96, something like that. So I was like, hey, we got something here. But the thing I'm worried about is maintaining that speed in terms of when we're talking about the speeds. But I've said this before, like, I don't need to pitch. I don't need to have that. I just need to be able to move the ball and keep the ball in on guys' hands, run the ball in on hands, get a cutter going, get a curveball going. Having the pitch speed is a plus for sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned you don't necessarily have to pitch in the mid-90s, but with all that movement that you get, and I know for you, when you lowered your arm angle after you'd got over to the Pirates, that's really what changed it and gave you that sink, right?
Yep, that spring training. I went into camp, and I had no idea that there was an idea from Ray Searage and Jim Benedict, who's now with the Marlins, that they were going to suggest that. And I started doing that, and my pitch speeds pretty much stayed the same. Like, I remember I threw against the Astros that spring, 2011, and they told me I was like 93, 96, and it translated into success for the first few months. Like, I was throwing great, and then started to break down. I had a left hip problem, and by the end of the year, I was back down like 90, 93. So, but I'm trying not to put much emphasis on that. I know it's cool to throw hard. It's like, oh wow, it's cool, but it's just not. It's really not been a part of my arsenal for any sustained amount of time. People ask me, have you always thrown that hard? And I say, have I had a surgery recently? like, am I pitching in pain or not? Like, it's just the kind of thing where you just got to ask me different months of different years and see where I'm at.
Charlie Morton, Astros pitcher, thanks for joining us. Glad you're aboard.
Thanks for having me.
Visit Astros.com/radio to hear all your favorite players, up-to-date interviews, highlights, and more. Get connected with your Astros at Astros.com/radio.
This is Steve Sparks. My guest today is Jordan Jankowski, who's in spring training with the Astros. And last 2 years for you, Jordan, you've spent in AAA Fresno, and you've had great years there. How frustrating is that for a player that feel like you're ready to pitch in the major leagues, but there's no room at that particular point?
It's not really that frustrating because the team up there is doing so well, and just trying to do your part, and just if the opportunity comes up, you're ready to play.
Do you feel like confidence-wise, you feel like you can compete at this level because you do it in spring training?
I'm confident, but once again, you just gotta wait your turn and be patient.
How about your slider? Where did that evolve from? You were a catcher, kind of growing up, and then a converted pitcher late in life. How did you pick up that slider, and how has it evolved as a pro?
Pretty much when I got to college, I couldn't hit the slider. So I started to learn how to throw it, and it evolved. And as the more I threw it, the better it got. And I kind of just tinkered with it. And picking some of the guys' brands here kind of helped, like Luke Gregerson. And it just evolved from there.
And you do tinker with it, even during the course of a game. It looks like sometimes to lefties or swing path or whatever, you try to change the shape of it.
Yeah, I try to make it go down or sweep it. I know a little different ways to do it, and it's kind of how I pitch. So.
You talk about not being able to hit it when you're a batter. What makes a good slider so tough?
Especially the righty when it moves away from him and has two planes, goes down. When I was a catcher, it was easy to call that pitch, and then I realized that's the hardest pitch to hit. So, I just learned how to throw it.
Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pittsburgh as a catcher, and then went out to college, just went to Miami, Ohio, and I went there because the head coach was a catcher, and I thought it would have been a good thing. And he actually turned me into a pitcher. So,
so he evaluated your talent and said, "This isn't for you, kid."
I mean, I still caught a little bit, but we didn't have as many quality arms as the big D1s. So I used my arm to throw too, and it just turned out to be I was a better pitcher than I was a hitter at the time.
Grew up obviously as a Pittsburgh sports fan. Are you still a Steelers, Pirates guy?
Not really a Pirates, but Steelers and Penguins are my two teams that I really root for. It's kind of disappointing the Steelers aren't making any moves right now, but we'll see what happens.
It's not over yet. Did you get in the NCAA bracket?
I did not. The Pitt Panthers weren't in it, so I decided not to even participate. So
there you go. That's Jordan Jankowski. Hey, best of luck. Hope to see you in Houston at some point this year, if not at the beginning.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, baseball fans, don't miss any of the big league action during the 2017 Astros season.
Swung on and throttled to left. In the sky and gone.
With games against the Yankees, Red Sox, Rangers, and Mets, this season will be full of premier matchups and rivalries. Houston is just a short drive away, so check out Astros.com for the most up-to-date information on the special promotions and ticket offers that are perfect for you. Make your plans now to cheer on the Astros at Minute Maid Park by visiting Astros.com or calling 1-877-9-ASTROS.
Robert Ford joined by Astros reliever Will Harris. You had a minor setback early in the little groin issue, but it appears to be behind you now.
It still lingers around here and there a little bit, but just kind of do what I need to do every day in the training room and in the weight room to make sure that we have it under control and kind of keeping our eye on opening day and making sure I'm 100% for when that day comes.
And, of course, spring training, you always want to be a little more cautious with stuff like that. I imagine it's one of those things where if it was a season, it wouldn't be nearly the issue, and not that it's much of an issue now.
I've dealt with it in the past. Dating back to my first year in professional baseball, so that's 11 years ago. But it's something that just got to kind of stay on top of. And I felt it a little bit in the bullpen that day. And if it didn't get any worse, I wouldn't have said anything. But it kind of started to get a little worse when I was out there pitching against Washington that day. And so, got a couple outs and kind of decided, hey, not the time to really push this thing. So. Blew the whistle, took myself out, and I was glad I did after the fact. It started to feel a lot better.
Anything in particular you're working on this spring?
Just kind of trying to I'm not working on any new pitches or anything, but just trying to work on throwing different pitches and different counts, kind of get out of my comfort zone a little bit, and just try and expand on what I do well and try and control both sides of the plate a little bit better with both pitches that I throw.
When you talk about kind of changing up how pitches you throw on certain counts, is that part of just kind of the all ongoing cat and mouse game between hitters and pitchers, always want to try and stay a step ahead?
Yeah, for sure. When you play, obviously, the big leagues, a lot of division games, we're playing a lot of the same lineups over and over again. You're playing four-game series, and, sometimes I'll pitch three times during those four games. So, when you're dealing with, elite hitters that we have in our division with the Trouts and Canoes and, Beltre and all these guys, they kind of know what you're bringing to the table when they step into the box. So if I can have another wrinkle to show them, maybe can try and stay ahead of them by, a pitch or two in the at-bat, then I think it could go a long way, especially when you're talking about pitching in September and October when you've been facing these guys for 7 months.
Your first camp with the Astros in 2015, you're one of the last guys to make the team. This camp and last year's camp, you're going to be on the team. Does that change anything for you in terms of how you prepare, how you go about camp?
No, you know, I feel exactly the same this year as I do, you know, any other camp in the past. You know, it's kind of one of those things where you just stay in your lane and take care of the stuff you need to take care of and prepare to get ready for opening day, whether that's if it was in 14, 15 in AAA or if it's here in the big leagues. You know, the goal is to pitch well for the upcoming season. And so your focus is preparing these 6 weeks to pitch well wherever you're at. And, you know, fortunate enough to be able to play for a really good team in Houston and be in the big leagues. And, you know, we'll see how long I can stay.
Ole Harris, thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, man.
Astroline, the official off-season hot stove show for your Houston Astros.
We're live from Duffy's Sports Grill for the very first time down in West Palm Beach.
Listen in as Steve Sparks and Robert Ford host an hour-long show with your favorite Astros of today and yesterday.
And our special guest this evening is George Springer.
Jeff Bagwell, it's a lot of fun. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Sparky. It's great to be here.
Astroline, exclusively on the Houston Astros Radio Network.